I wonder how many of you remember that TV show? Bobby, you remember it? Not too many of you, or either you just don't want to admit that you remember it. Do you remember the name of the show? No, that's not Ozzie and Harriet. Not What's My Line? What is it? I heard somebody say it. It's To Tell the Truth. It's To Tell the Truth. Well, I have a funny feeling you're not going to do very well on the next question, and that is, who were the stars? Who was the host of To Tell the Truth? You've never seen it? No? No, the host is a man in the back. You got it. It is Bud Collier. How about that? Very good, Doug. And from the left to the right, who is the next one? The guy on the left? No, not Art Linkletter. I think this guy is still alive because, if I'm not mistaken, he actually starred in some of the newer... Bob Newhart. I think he was like the handyman for Bob Newhart, maybe? No, okay. Oh, who said that? That is Tom Poston. Yeah. That's not the one that starred in the Newhart as the handyman? It was. I thought it was him. All right. Who's the next lady? Somebody said it already. That's Kitty Carlisle. And the last one, I did not remember until I looked it up. Huh? Orson Veidt. And it was a great show. It was a fun show to watch if you don't know how it worked. And by the way, it came in 1959. That's when the show debuted. I was over here yesterday, and I was sitting here just kind of flashing through the slides and just thinking through the message this morning, and I said, what, 1956? Boy, that is an old, old program. And then, for whatever reason, it just dawned on me, and you were born in 1951. So what does that say about me? The way the show worked is you had three contestants that would come on to the show. And they would say things. One of them was the actual right person, but they set up a situation. For instance, the truth might be, I am the person that performed the first heart transplant. Now, one out of those three actually did it. The other two tried to fool the panelists in thinking that they were the one, that they were telling the truth. And if you saw the show, you may remember that at the end of a period of questioning by the three people up there, they had to guess which one did they think was telling the truth. And oftentimes, I remember watching thinking, I have no idea. They all sound like, to me, they're telling the truth. Well, what do you do with Jesus? When he makes a statement, a truth statement, we call it a truth claim, and says this, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And Jim pretty much preached half my message this morning, which is awesome. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But how do you know that what Jesus said is true? Maybe he's like one of those contestants on that show. And what he's saying, what all the things that person was saying was not even true. It was true about the other person down the line, but not them. How do we know that what Jesus said is true? That last week, Pastor Mark took the phrase, Jesus made the statement, I am the way. And Pastor Mark pointed out that Jesus did not say, I am a way. I'm one of many. Just kind of pick the one you want. Kind of like a box of cereal. You go to the supermarket, you have a box of cereal. There's just hundreds or 50s or whatever there are up there now, selections. And you pick the one you like. Well, Jesus didn't leave that option open to us. I am the way, he says. I'm not like cereal. You walk into a store and pick out your favorite kind. Jesus says, I'm the way. And today I want to pick up on the second candle, the candle where Jesus said, I am the truth. I'm not a truth. I'm not one of many. He says, I'm the truth. But anybody can make statements like this, can't they? Anybody can make these kinds of claims. I can sit up here and say, I am tall, dark, and handsome. Some of you are responding like you do not believe me. Well, how do you know I'm telling the truth? Jesus said, no one comes to the Father except through me. That's another one of those truth claims that he made. But the question I want to ask this morning is, how do we know? What is the evidence that what Jesus says is actually true? You don't go to heaven unless you come through me. How do we know that's true? Here's some other truth claims that I just picked out randomly. There's so many of them. Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. Anyone who comes to me will never never hunger again. You come to me, you'll never hunger again. What is he talking about? I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to going home and having dinner today, having lunch. I'm hungry. So that's not what he meant, is it? What does he mean when he says, if you come to me, you will never hunger again? What does that mean? Spiritually, it means this. If you come to Jesus as your Savior, the emptiness that people have in their hearts will be filled. That there will no longer be any emptiness. All you have to do is particularly look to Hollywood today and you see the emptiness of these very successful, rich people. And many of them take their lives. One of the things that I enjoy doing sometimes in the evening is I will go to Netflix or something like that and pull up one of those bios and just watch the biography of some people that we look at and say, wow, they really made it in life. And then you realize what all the mess that they have added and put into their lives. And by the end of their lifetime, they have just messed things up so bad. Because there was an emptiness inside that could not be filled up with drugs and alcohol and possessions and money and things like that. Jesus says, if you come to me, you will never, ever thirst again. You will never feel that emptiness inside you. He says, you'll never hunger. Hunger for what? For purpose. Come to me, and I will give your life purpose. I will give your life meaning. We were created to do what? To serve him, to bring him glory with our lives. If you come to Jesus, you find out what life's really all about. What the meaning and what the purpose of life is. That's what Jesus promised. Life with satisfaction guaranteed is the way I heard one person put it. That's what that verse means. But how do we know that what Jesus says is true? I mean, anybody could make that statement. Come to me and I'll give you fulfillment. How do we know that what Jesus says is actually true? Here's another one of his truth statements. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. But they'll have the light of life. What an extraordinary claim Jesus is making there. If you follow me, you will never go through life wondering, what is life all about? Why am I here? What was I created for? What's my purpose? Jesus says, follow me and I will give your life purpose. You'll never go through life wondering, what was I created for? What's life all about? What's missing? I mean, how many people have we talked to and they just say, something's missing. I don't know what it is, and I've tried this, I've done this, I've done. We know what's missing, don't we? A person who hasn't put their faith, who has not following Jesus, they have a lot missing in their life. Some people go through life wondering, what's going on? Where is my life going? Come to Christ and follow him. And you'll never ask that question. But how do we know that what Jesus says is actually true? You follow me, you'll never walk in darkness. But how do we know that he's actually claiming the truth? Maybe he's one of those other contestants up there claiming, I'm the one that did the heart transplant. Maybe Jesus is just one of those. Come follow me, I'm looking for a crowd. How do we know that what he says is actually true? My favorite one is this. I am the resurrection and the life. Look at this. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me, get this one. Actually, they never die. You live and believe in me and you will never die. Is he talking about physical? I know I came really, really close about 4 or 5 years ago to dying physically. When my son arrived at the hospital, he was the first one there. The doctor came out and said, your dad has 10% chance of surviving this heart attack. He's just probably not going to make it. But I did make it. And I can't tell you how many times I have teased with Denise and said, boy, you, You almost had it made, lady. Almost. With my life insurance, you would have been set for life. But people prayed, and Denise prayed. I think you prayed, right? Yes. And here I am. Here we are, poor. And no money, no life insurance yet. But I'm grateful for that. Jesus said, if you believe in me, you will never die. But we know that people die every day. And people that love Jesus die every day. What does he mean? Believe in me and you will never die. Well, we'll find out what that means in a little bit. Question is, how do we know that what he's saying is actually true? That if you actually believe in me, you will never die. Physically, yes. But not spiritually, if you believe in Jesus. Now, if you've got your copy of God's Word, turn to Matthew chapter 17 and let's take a look at three reasons why we know that Jesus is speaking the truth. Three reasons how we know, all these different statements that we looked at, three reasons how we know that Jesus is telling the truth. Because anybody can make these claims, but not everybody has these credentials. The first, let's just read through the passage. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up to a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it's good that we are here. If you wish, we'll make three tents here, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You need to listen to him. All right, let's take this passage apart and see, how do we know that what Jesus says is true? The first reason is found in verse 2. As the men watched, Jesus' appearance was transformed so that his face shone like the sun. His clothes became white as light. Tell me about that word transformed. Does anybody know what English word we get from the Greek word translated here, transformed? Mary Lou, I bet you know. I think so. Another, huh? Give us the biological term. Metamorphosis. That's the word in the Greek. It's the Greek metamorphosis. Now, what does metamorphosis mean? Metamorphosis. It means it's a change that occurs on the outside that comes from the inside. Anybody think of an example? I was talking with Mary Lou this morning, and they thought of instantly the same example that I thought of. A butterfly. Actually, it's a caterpillar. Starts out as a caterpillar. I don't know about you, but to me, he looks like a worm, right? And I've actually used caterpillars for fishing. They're excellent for fishing, aren't they, Travis? A fish looks at it and says, that's a worm. And they go for it. But what happens when that caterpillar, after a period of time, crawls up and makes a cocoon? And after a certain amount of time, what does he come out as? He is transformed into a butterfly. That's the word that's used right there about Jesus. It says his face shone like the sun. Now, does that mean it was a really bright day? The sun was bright and it came through the trees and just hit Jesus just right on his face and kind of made his face light up. Is that what's going on? That's not what the scripture says. He was transformed. It was metamorphosis. His change over his face because of what he was on the inside. Then it says his clothes became as white as light. Not because the light was shining on him, but because of who he was on the inside. That's why those things happen. John MacArthur in his commentary on these verses says, there could henceforth be no doubt in the minds that Jesus was God incarnate. When they walked away from that experience, they had to say, there is something very, very special about this man, that this man is God incarnate. So how do we know that what Jesus says is true? Reason number one, because of who he was. He was God become man. In reality, I could stop the message right there and say that's really the only reason why we need to know that what Jesus says is true. Because of who he was. He was God, become man, putting on flesh, as the way John puts it, and dwelling among us. That's how we know that he tells the truth. Because of who he was. So, I don't know of any reason to question Jesus unless you just really want to question God, because that's who he was. The second reason that we know that Jesus says the truth is found in verse 3. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. All right, let's do a little math here. Here we go. Question number one, how many years ago did Moses live before Jesus? Too bad Matt King's not here, because I know he'd know the answer right off the bat. Anybody know? Everybody take a stab at it? How many years did Moses live? He's there talking with Jesus, but how many years did he live before Jesus?
750.
Oh, you're about halfway there. You're about halfway there. Moses lived around 15 B.C., about 1,500 years before Jesus was in this situation right here. Now, Elijah was a little different. So, by the way, who buried Moses? God buried him. It says God came and took his body away and buried Moses himself. We're not all sure why. Possibility is that God knew he better take that body, because the people would probably wind up worshiping that dead body. Israel was kind of worshiping anything. If they could get their hands on it, snakes, you name it, we'll worship it. Golden calves, we'll worship it. So some people believe that God took care of the body of Moses, buried it himself on a mountain where no one knew, to keep the people from turning into idolatry again. But anyway, Moses lived 1,500 years prior to this situation here. Elijah, how many years did he live before this situation? Anybody want to take a stab at that one? It's a little harder to tell how many years he had been dead, because of what happened to Elijah. You know the story of Elijah? What happened to him? Here's what King says. And as they went on and talked, behold, the chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. Talking about Elijah and Elisha. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind in those chariots straight into heaven. Now, when did he die? The chariots came down, scooped him up, and off he goes. We don't know when he died, but that's the Lord's business of how long he lived in that chariot, or when he was transformed into the new body and things like that that were promised. But if you want to go back and get the years when this occurred, it's about 850 B.C. And yet, here's Jesus standing there talking with them. How do you explain that? How do you explain that except for this one thing? What had Jesus said in that passage, in one of those truth claims? Everyone who believes in me will never, what's the word? They will never die. And so we know that Jesus tells the truth, number one, because of who he was. He was God in the flesh. And number two, because of what he could do. He could raise the dead. Stand there and have a little chit-chat with Moses and Elijah, who had died 1,500 years and 850 years before this whole situation happens. So we know that Jesus tells us the truth because of those two reasons put together. But there's a third reason why we know that Jesus speaks the truth. And actually, this is one of my favorites of the three. Peter was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. You need to listen to him." This is God speaking. And God says, "I am pleased with everything I see about my Son Jesus. I am pleased in everything that he says. I am pleased in everything that Jesus did." And God says this. Paul, we know what Paul's opinion was of Christ, don't we? There's lots of verses you can kind of pick out and find out what Paul thought about Jesus. Paul made this statement. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You want to see what God looks like, or what God is like? take a look at Jesus. He is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed. Jesus existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation, for through him, Christ, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. Would you say that Paul had a pretty high view of Jesus? That's not bad credentials, is it? That's nice credentials that Paul gives Jesus. Simon Peter gave us his thoughts on Jesus, and he said this: you are the Christ. Give me another word for Christ. Give me a New Testament word for Christ. Actually, Old Testament word. Messiah. You are the Messiah, the expected one, the one that we've been waiting for all these years. You're the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. Would you say that Peter had a pretty high view of Jesus? Pretty good credentials? Pretty good endorsement of Christ? Question is, who's saying that? Who's making that statement? Bobby? This is God the Father. One step, well, quite a few steps above Paul, or quite a few steps above Peter. This is what God says about Jesus. He's my Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And you need to listen to him. So how do we know that what Jesus says is true, and we can kind of sit back with confidence, totally rely upon the statements that Jesus made on how to get to heaven? Three reasons. Because of who he was, it was God become man. Because of what he could do, he raised the dead, stood there and talked with them. And number three, because of who testified about him, God the Father. So that means when Jesus says statements like this: I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger again. That he makes the promise to fulfill all emptiness inside us, and we can trust him for it. And when Jesus says, I'm the light of the world, you follow me, you'll not walk in darkness. You make me your Lord and Master, and the one that you dedicate to following him. There'll be no more groping around the world, no more wondering, no more, what's life about? Why did God make me? You come to him and you will no longer walk in darkness. You walk in the light of life, Jesus. And when Jesus says, I'm the resurrection and the life, he who believes in me will never die. You know what that means? It means you can relax. It means if the doctor says you only got 10% chance of living, you can relax. Because Jesus said, you may die physically, but if you have believed in me, trusted me as your personal Savior, you don't die. You just change locations. You go from earth and into my presence. Your body goes in the grave, but the real you goes to see me. So you can relax. Why can you do all these things? Because Jesus is the truth.